All right, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Playing Xbox Podcast. I'm not quite sure what episode we're on. I think we might be 36. It's been a rough couple weeks, but Attic, I know you've been under the weather. How you doing now?
I'm surviving. I'm still a little under the weather, so if I cough a little bit, I apologize.
Understandable. Being under the weather and indoors, were you able to play anything?
I've been playing a lot of Unicorn Overload.
Mm-hmm.
That's been like the biggest game I've been playing right now.
Okay. I've been dipping and dabbing a little bit of things. I started playing Control Ultimate Edition. I got like 75% through the game, and then I just playing that game, I reminded myself of how much I hated the map structure in that game. It sucks. Worst map in any video game. So I put that down. I don't have no need to really beat it. I'd like to beat it just to pad my list for the year. I beat the original Control at launch back in 2019. Want to, you know, replay Ultimate Edition. I started playing Immortals of Avenum. You know, Xbox Game Pass subscribers got the game for $8. Decent game. I don't know if the studio is still around, but that was that independent, you know, studio that had a publishing deal with EA. They released that new IP, single player, running on Unreal Engine 5. Looks good and whatnot. The performance is a bit shoddy, but it looks like they're about to get like FSR3 and frame generation update. So I put the game down in favor of that. Played a couple games in Game Pass, such as Lego 2K, something me and my son's been getting into. He's been beating me actually in it. I'm trying to think if I significantly gotten anything else. I played the Stellar Blade demo. I'm interested in the game. We'll talk about that. I'm trying to think, did I play anything else of significance? Nothing has been. I've redownloaded Assassin's Creed Odyssey and Origins. I feel like I just got in the mood to want to play those again. But nothing.
You've always been a big really fan of those type of games.
Yeah, they're really fun. Underappreciated games. You know, the bloat of those games does get to me, but I think I want to have that first time experience again. I have a reason to play Odyssey again because I've only played as Cassandra. I never played as Alexios, so I'm probably.
I never beat that game.
I mean, you should. It's bloated to oblivion right now with a lot of stuff. There's a lot of content. That's a prime example of too much content for its own good. It's actually intimidating to tackle. So that's the issue many people have with. The recent Assassin's Creed game. But I tried to play games like Assassin's Creed Mirage, and I don't like it. I can't go back to a classic Assassin's Creed. I can't do it. Can't do it to save my life.
It was pretty rough when I tried.
Yeah. Tried a little bit of MLB The Show. Tried No More Heroes 3. Don't like that. Uninstalled. Bought a couple Xbox 360 games. I guess I've been cruising in casual mode. Like I said, I want to get into Stellar Blade, but I think the game is too expensive for its own good.
Man, it puts like content creators in a bad position where it's like, even though that this could be a good experience, Do we think it should be rewarded for trying to get? Oh, it's full retail, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a $70 game. And the thing is, every time I think of it, and people are coming at me for my take on it, because I'm not downing the game. The game is a budget game. It's a $40 game that Sony has charged $70 for. This was originally going to be an independent game, a Korean game for Xbox, PlayStation, and PC, and it would have literally sold for $40 or $50. Had they self-published it, or some indie publisher came through and published it, maybe they signed a deal with, you know, Bandai. I still don't even think Bandai would have charged $60. At most, they would have charged like maybe $50, maybe $60, whatever. Sony comes, scoops it up, remove 2/3 of the audience potential, and charge $70 for it with its marketing effort. So, yeah, and when you play the game, like, again, it's a fun game. I like it. I enjoy the action of the game. But it's not that, like, oh, like this temple franchise or whatever. It's like, yo, it's a tier below like what Team Ninja makes. It's like in that tier, like of like the Rise of the Ronins, the Wolongs, and you know I like Wolong, but I could, but Wolong wasn't a $70 game, right? It's a tier below those, like the Scarlet Nexus and stuff like that. It's definitely a budget game, and you could see it in the game. People brag about the visuals, but the visuals are not good in terms of the in-game visuals. It's very noisy, especially in performance mode. It's a very noisy game. Whatever temporal reconstruction they're doing, it doesn't leave a desirable image, lasting image. But what you were about to say, I'm sorry.
Do you think that the reason this game is $70, you think Sony pushed that price tag?
Yeah, as the publishers of this game, they're responsible for the pricing. So
Do you think that they would have priced it that way if they wasn't published by PlayStation?
Yeah, yeah. I wholeheartedly believe if Stellar Blade came out as Project, you know, Eve and released with its full intent on how it originally intended to release, it would have been a $40 to $50 game. It would not have been $70 by any stretch of the imagination.
What is that thing that Everborn loves saying? That they'll pay it, make them, or something like that.
What he says? What does Everborn say?
He's always like, hey, make them pay it, they'll pay it, or something like that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I want to, it's like, I don't, see, I'm struggling with the, I'm not like no hot shot content creator that just gets every game, right? I'm not like your Paris Elise. I'm not Dreamcast guy. I'm not guaranteed to get a game like this, right? So me, when I'm looking at, I play the demo, and I respect the fact that they put out a demo because it's like, okay, I like it. But the thing is, I'm bright enough to know that, okay, I might like a game, but I can like a game and still don't think it's worth $70. Like, I feel like this would be a good buy, you know, on sale, $40, the spring sale. You know, $40, I do it. Like, for example, I love RoboCop. I talk about RoboCop a lot. I don't know what it retailed for. I think it initially was a $50. It was either a $50 game or a $60 game. But I think if you bought the special... No, I think it was a $50 game. And if you bought, like, the special edition or something like that, the Alex Murphy edition, it was $60 or something like that. I didn't buy RoboCop day one. People forget... I bought the game when it got on sale, and it was like $38. I bought it. Yeah, of course I bought it. Played it, enjoyed it, and loved it. And I felt like that was worth the buy. Sure, did I missed out on the day one FOMO? Yeah, but I don't regret when I bought it. I think only people who would buy, who should buy Stellar Blade day one are those who suffer from FOMO, the FOMO syndrome. That's only. Otherwise, this game would be a perfect buy at $40 or $50 in a few months. And again, the also issue I have with this game is that it's not on PC. This is not like PlayStation does dumb decisions like with these type of games, and Square Enix makes the same type of decisions. This game is launching exclusively on PlayStation 5, right? It was originally targeting Xbox One, PS4, and PC. It still looks like an Xbox One PS4 game, like generation type game. But the fact that this game's not on PC day one is just like, it's stupid. It's really stupid. So yeah, Sony got a better, this game's going to be profitable. It better be. I don't think it costs them as much to make it. It's going to be profitable. People are going to sell it. Sony does a good job at marketing games, so it's going to sell more than what it really needs to. But to me, Stellar Blade's a fun game. But in terms of how I would look at it, I think it's like a perfect 7 out of 10 game, in my opinion.
Oh, well, I think we'll have to see like the final product.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do find a little interesting is the price tag. Like it, because a game like that, I'm just PlayStation generally put games out at below. I mean, Helldivers they did, didn't they?
Yeah, but Helldivers they didn't believe in. Helldivers caught light in a, what saved Helldivers was it released on PC day and date, and FOMO was created because PC Steam numbers, you know, those player count. Same thing what happened with Power World. Nobody on Xbox cared about Power World till those Steam numbers got up. And when those Steam numbers got up, oh, this is on Game Pass. It was like a
domino effect.
It was a domino effect. More people downloaded it because they wanted to be a part of the conversation. Same thing with Helldivers. Helldivers, nobody was really, PlayStation people were gonna buy it because they had no games and this is really it. But what make Helldivers what it is today was this release on PC, it maintaining those high player counts and that FOMO effect that it forced literally PlayStation, because when you compare the charts, it wasn't charting as high on PlayStation digital stores. It was charging high on PC stores. I think PC was responsible for 60 or 70% of the sales. So that's why when you look at the sales record for Helldivers, I think it was getting, it's the sales was increasing week after week because PlayStation gamers were buying the game after all the hoopla that PC was doing it. But that game, PC saved that game, and it was a smart move. It was an amazing smart move because that game was like, PlayStation probably did. It was like, okay, you know, understandable, multiplayer game. They priced it appropriately. They priced it appropriately. Hell, if it wasn't published by Sony, it probably would have been a free-to-play. So it's a profitable game regardless. They priced it appropriately. Sure, it had no business being $70. The game, I think they put it at $30, $40. Perfect. That's right up the PC's gamers' price point. It went on sale, blew up on PC, and so, and that's why it did what it did.
So just to clarify, you think it did so well, and the reason it was priced at that is because you think PlayStation knew the PC audience would be the one to really pull through with that one, so they didn't want to overprice it.
Helldivers was a surprise to everyone involved, the developer, the publisher, that it was a surprise. So Sony, it was priced the way it was because Sony was a gamble. It's like they had nothing to lose. It was like they're playing with house money. So they didn't know it was going to blow up and do well on PC. And because it did that, you know, they was like, okay, great. Great, we got one. I don't think PlayStation anticipated Helldivers to do much of anything. But it did, and it worked out well for them. So the pricing was, I think, it was appropriate for what they thought. It was like, you know what, they played the smart with the game. They knew you weren't going to get $70 for a multiplayer-only game that requires, if you're playing it on PlayStation 5, it requires PS Plus. And then on PC, their games haven't been doing well on PC up until that point. No, Helldivers is the first really breakthrough game. Because remember, Helldivers 1 exists on PC. It wasn't a popular game. So they did it.
It's because they switched its perspective too. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, they did. They did a good job. Now this is where stupidity comes in, because for all the stuff that I'm saying about Helldivers, people make dumb decisions when it comes to PlayStation. And I've been trying to do the skit. I really want to do the skit. I need Mez, I need Cognito, and I need BG. I want to do the skit because I think it's accurate. This is what I think goes on with Square Enix.
Or the don't say anything.
I'm not going to do it, but I will say this. Foam Stars. That released the same week as Helldivers 2, right? That's a multiplayer-only games as a service exclusive to PlayStation 5, not on PC. What did they expect? So no, of course that game flops. Of course that game flops. That game was, I think, I don't know what the price point was that, but they literally put that in PS Plus last minute. That's a stupid decision. Those are the decisions I don't understand, where you make a multiplayer game that probably was targeting free to play without PlayStation's input, and you release it exclusively to one platform that isn't known to keep multiplayer games alive. Foam Stars was your perfect example of, yeah, this shouldn't be exclusive. This should be PlayStation, PC, day and day. I mean, put it on Xbox day and day, but you definitely put a game like that on PC day and date, where the survival of that game relies on players. And you launch it on a platform that isn't, that don't fancy multiplayer games. So, yeah.
But so I do think that, I don't think it was like strictly they didn't think the game was going to succeed. I do think they thought they had something, but I agree with you that no one thought it would be as big as it actually ended up being.
Your cat about to push a button. Oh, so now, but the strange thing about obviously this year, or like all we said earlier this year and late last year, is 2024 will be the year of Xbox. Now, and PlayStation has nothing. In actuality, PlayStation, you know, they, even though they don't have anything internal, they did make smart moves with third parties, second parties, you know, buying up exclusive, and they are front loaded for the first quarter, which is how you get Final Fantasy, how you get Rise of the Ronin, how you get Stellar Blade. Even though, in my opinion, I think all those games were average, with the exception of Final Fantasy. I know people that has like a little there's like a Zelda effect with Final Fantasy VII or something like that, where people just assume it's good. But the stuff like Rise of the Ronin and, you know, Stellar Blade, Helldivers, I think all in all, those are actually just straight average games, to mediocre to average games. But it creates this concept or this aura that, oh, well, you know, PlayStation got games and keep releasing games, and smart. I'm curious to see what they do for the rest of the year. Maybe it'll be hardware that carries them for the second half of the year. But Xbox, you know, who's, you know, supposed to have this big year, we can name all their games, but their cadence again, you know, fails to come through. They, from January 1st to April 1st, not a single game from Xbox. You know, people try to take credit for PAL World. That was lightning in a bottle. It was all right. Wasn't my type of game. It released. It had 15 minutes of fame. And now we're all waiting for the next big game. I was just about to go on my tirade of Xbox and this lack of marketing. I started to make some tweets. And within 24 hours, their marketing woke up and started talking about their games and started talking about their console. And the first big thing that broke was Hellblade 2. Looks like it got journalist previews. And the thing about Xbox, the meme of them stepping on a rake, it's a true stereotype. It's a true statement. And I say that not because I thought anything was wrong with Hellblade, right? I think I'm happy what I'm hearing. The game looks good. The way the game played, the people are describing the gameplay seem amazing. People are really calling this a true next gen experience, and those are all good things. But what was the things that people wanted to focus on? Two bad news came out of the Hellblade preview. You want to tell me what those two bad things were?
30 frames per second. And I'm not entirely sure what you mean by the second one. Mm-hmm. Are you talking about where that studio said it's not on X PlayStation and it should be on PlayStation? Nah, is that what you're talking about?
No, the lead dev.
Leaving. Oh, the lead dev leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that they do that when their first original article was written. It was like, oh, yeah, we know we didn't see the dev, and Xbox confirmed that he's no longer with the company. But that's the lead. That was the flamboyant dude with the fingernails painting. He talks really calmly, and he when he's presenting, when he's talking about Hellblade. He talked about Hellblade 2 so passionately. So he's no longer there. But typically, let's say if that news was isolated, and now Xbox is starting to get smart with their PR, right? You know how PlayStation, and they drop big new, good news, they also drop a little bad news, but they make sure the good news overshadows the bad news, right? They're notorious for doing that. Xbox this time, now imagine if the Ninja Theory lead, let's say if there was no gameplay preview, right? No marketing for Hellblade 2, and the news got out that the head of Ninja Theory was left. It would have, you know what the internet would have been like, right? It would have been very, like, bad. Like, oh, Xbox got a management issue. Everybody's leaving. Like, it would have been a new cycle. So, the thing is, now, to take some heat off that, people are talking about either A, how good Hellblade looks and plays, or they're talking about the performance, or lack thereof, which is the frame rate issue, which you did a video on. I did a video on, which will be on my channel come Sunday. I need a thumbnail. But it'll be on my channel come Sunday or Monday. We'll see. And that's the thing that sucks is that, like, wow, we got this good news about hell. We're finally talking about, you know, Xbox and its games and its impending release. It releases in 30 plus days. It's looking great. People are talking about Game of the Year. People are comparing it to a Sony first party game. And people are begging for it for, you know, PlayStation and whatnot. People are saying it's truly next gen. It's the first next gen experience, you know. But then on the other hand, you got to talk about, like, the most powerful console. And this is yet another game Xbox is launching without a performance mode. Even they may have legit reasons. It's still a bad look in this case. And I want to know your thoughts on the whole scenario with Hellblade.
I still think that part of me thinks there's like zero chance that this game couldn't have ran on like a performance mode. Like, I think like the biggest issue that people have with Xbox is like just the mixed marketing. Like, you go out and you scream from like the top of your lungs that this is the most powerful console, this, the most powerful console, that, but then every next gen only game runs at what, smooth?
I won't say every, but
tell me all their exclusives. What is ran past 30 frames?
What's ran,
that's been what, next gen only,
that's been on that, so that doesn't release on Xbox One?
Yeah, so like,
okay.
Can you give me examples?
All right. I can give you games that, so Forza Motorsport,
okay, so that's one.
That's one. Flight Sim, they gave it a unlocked frame rate. That's what they did.
Oh, wasn't that after it came out?
It launched unlocked frame rate. It launched with
unlocked. Okay, so that's two.
Psychonauts and stuff don't count. Okay, I gotta go with next gen only, because they really start releasing next gen games until 2023. Hi-Fi Rush.
Okay, so Hi-Fi Rush didn't come out on Xbox.
Pentiment.
Oh my god, we talking about Pentiment?
Yeah, I understand, but you told me like Pentiment, Hi-Fi Rush, they both were like 60 FPS at launch. I mean, I don't know. Does Ghostwire Tokyo on Deathloop count or not? I
don't know. No.
Yeah, it's just their pillars, the big games. Yeah, when you say Redfall, Starfield, and now Hellblade 2 are the three
games.
Yeah,
and what's funny is ever since they raised their prices to $70, besides Hellblade, Hellblade's not 70, obviously, every game has been 30 frames. Redfall, Starfield was 70, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Both 30 frame games.
I think the issue, now here's the thing. I blame Redfall for this whole situation. You know why? Because Redfall was the obvious game that should have been 60. It had no reason, had no business being 30 FPS or not having a performance. Now, mind you guys, if you're watching this video now, Redfall, it has a 60 FPS option and looks no different than the 30 FPS option. It runs well. It's playable. But at the time, it made no sense. And that ruined it for Starfield, because whatever excuse we were going to be willing to give Starfield for being a 30 FPS experience would have been made up. Like, you know, Redfall, Unreal Engine 4, first-person shooter, no problem. But because that game could not deliver 60 FPS at launch, our excuse for Starfield kind of dwindled. And now our excuse for Hellblade kind of dwindled. Even though I feel like both of those games are doing different things. Now, afterwards, even though I didn't mind Starfield's 30 FPS, I wasn't as mad as I thought I would be after playing the game, being happy with it. One of my favorite game last year. My favorite game last year. Game of the year, in my opinion. But after playing it on, like, you know, PC and the Rogue Ally, I'm like, why couldn't they have an unlocked FPS mode, being that this game was sponsored by AMD, they built it around AMD, Xbox is built around AMD. Yeah, they could have definitely afforded a frame rate mode or unlocked FPS mode on the Xbox Series X, and I'm still waiting for that. It needs to happen. There's no excuse why it shouldn't happen. I will be playing the Starfield DLC whenever they release it. They need to start, like, revving for it, because it's too quiet. On PC, if there's no FPS update for Xbox yet. Even though I didn't have an issue with Starfield's performance on Xbox, I played 70% of the game on Xbox, and then I think the last 30, because remember, during the review period, you know, I couldn't play it on PC, played it on Xbox. But then after officially launched, I was able to play it on PC, and it had a decent experience again, but I have a bottleneck GPU. But yeah, like, the Xbox is getting their lunch, like, taken, like, because PlayStation has yet to release. Every game PlayStation launched, whether it's cross-gen or Gen 9 only, they've been able to launch a performance mode day and date, and those games were still able to uphold their visuals to some degree. I'm not giving Final Fantasy credit for that, because that's not a PlayStation first party game, and that was a horrible looking game in performance mode. Stellar Blade 2 also is not that good looking in either of its performance mode, in my opinion, too. But yeah, but in terms of principle, PlayStation has been eating Xbox's lunch. And if I'm working at Xbox and you got all these high end developers, tech savvy dudes, you built this beefy box, and you're not able to, like, produce high frame rate games, it is troublesome, you know. Now, I do respect, you know, Arkane for saying, hey, you know, the performance mode is coming at a later date, so you know it was coming, you knew it was possible. But no, Starfield, I still don't understand. If you could run that game on a Rogue Ally at 60 FPS, come on. There's settings you can find to balance out a high frame rate mode on Xbox. Hellblade, looking at what I saw, though, and you know what? I ain't going to lie, man. Starfield's my favorite game until Xbox released a game better. I remember during the early days of Xbox Series X, I was capping for the Medium. I thought the Medium was a really good game. It's not a first party title, but it was one of those, like, early games for Xbox Series X. Xbox had marketing. It released first on Xbox, but it was 30 FPS. Not sure why, but it didn't, like, it wasn't a bad game for it. And the pacing of the game, to me, I don't think it required like 60 FPS. Maybe Hellblade is the same scenario, where even though it's an action combat game, but they say you fight no more than one person at a time, and it's like hyper focused within that, you know, that combat and stuff like that. I'm not gonna argue against 60 FPS. If you can do it, you know. But I do think I would have respected the idea of, like, hey, you know, we pushing the Xbox to its limits. Because by saying that, it's like, okay, you guys are going all in on the graphics. My Xbox is going to be running hot. And that you couldn't get, you know, 60 FPS because you were going for the highest fidelity possible. I could respect that. And then I'll be like, well, I can't wait to see what I can do on PC. But truthfully speaking, I don't think this is going to be a game that easily gets 60 FPS on PC either. But not to say that it won't run it, but the thing is, I don't like playing games. This is why I hate what I hate about PC gaming. People say, oh, PC. I don't like the fact that I can't, I have to play around so much to get 60 FPS. I barely ever, unless I'm playing an old-ass game, I barely ever get a clean 60 or like above. I was playing like games like Ghostwire Tokyo, and I would literally go from literally 70 FPS, it started raining, and I go down to like 21 FPS. And it would be consistent. And I was like, I don't feel like playing around with this. That's why I opted to play on Xbox and just got like a consistent. I wasn't getting frame rates as high, but it was consistent enough where it wasn't so drastic. It wasn't dropping all the way down to 21 FPS in a performance mode. So
I've just gotten to the point where if I do not absolutely have to play a game at 60 frames or maybe for convenience purposes, I'm not playing it on PC. Like, that's where I'm at this point. You know, when Hellblade comes out, PC. I'm just
mixing. But you have a powerhouse PC though, so you have no, like, I have a, at this point my PC is just like kind of really just colorful. If I had a powerhouse PC of like, for example, like, and one day I'll get to the point where I can get like $4,000 and build the PC I truly, truly want, then I would commit most of my gaming or current day gaming to PC. But until then, the Xbox will hold me down. But if, like I said, if I could get play Hellblade on this PC. Get Xbox's at least settings right, because they weren't having them play on PC. They were having them play on Xbox, which tells me something. Because when they were having people play Redfall, they were having them play on PC, right? They weren't playing on Xbox.
They didn't tell you.
They didn't tell you. But they these dudes were open saying, yeah, they had us playing on the Xbox Series X. So if I'm gonna get those same visuals and I can get 60 FPS or better on my current build PC, then yes, I will play on Hellblade 2 on PC. I wouldn't mind. That's fine. That's fine. Like, I would like to play. Like, I still want to play freaking Forspoken, but they haven't dropped the price on PC yet, and I only want to play that on the Xbox PC. I'm not even buying it. Honestly, I want to buy it on Windows. But that makes sense. You should play most of your games, honestly, on PC, because you have a PC that, like, you know, that craps on your PlayStation 5 and Xbox.
Well, what's your graphics card?
I have a 3070 Ti.
I think that's still stronger than a Series X.
It's stronger to a degree, but it's a bottleneck. It's literally a bottleneck because it's only 8 gigs. Most games, to get the most out of your games, you want a 12, you want a 16 gigabyte card.
You don't have to get the most out of your games. I still only run games at 1440p.
Like, that's the thing, is like, if I'm going to go from console to PC, then I have to get, it's like you have to get max. I don't want to budget gaming
on console though.
But I'm getting the most I'm going to get out of the console. If I'm going to build a PC, I got to get the most I can get. And if I want to get the most, I got to get max. I honestly
truly believe that you have a mental barrier around going on PC, and you use that as an excuse to justify not going on PC.
No. There's games I played on PC. I play more on my Rogue Ally than I play on PC. Like, I legit play, like, download specific games just to play on a Rogue Ally. PC though, I've gotten through, like, I first played Ghostwire Tokyo. I did that on a PC when I first played.
Question. Mm-hmm. Everything you play on mm-hmm. console, what do you play it on? Performance or the vision one? Fidelity.
I typically play on performance mode.
So if you're not caring to max out the Series X to that degree, mm-hmm. why do you care about the PC?
Because my PC is supposed to be better than my Xbox. So the thing is, if I'm playing on PC, that means I'm trying to max out the graphics and the performance at the same time. That's really why I want to play on it, is because I want to max out. If I'm going to play Hellblade 2 on PC is because I want the same visual fidelity that they're showing me, but I want it at higher frame rate, so my PC should be able to produce that. If it can't, then I'm going to just go on Xbox. That's literally how I've been playing games. It's like, if I like, for example, like, but I don't think my PC is doing so much better than what my consoles is doing. Like, but I played like Spider-Man. I beat Spider-Man on PC. I beat Ghostwire Tokyo initially on PC. I beat what else did I do on PC? I did actually a lot of games on PC. It hasn't been an issue. It's just that I feel like I have to justify playing games on PC. And by justifying it, it needs to be a powerhouse. It needs to be like max graphics, max performance. You know what I mean?
Okay, so question. If this time next year, let's say you do go out there, spend like 4G's on a PC in the next year, the new cards come out, will you feel obligated to upgrade them?
It depends. So right now I'm in the 30 series, right? And the 40 series is the current, and there's a 50 series coming out. I feel like if I had the highest tier 40 series card, like a 4080 Ti or a 4090, I think I should survive without ever touching the 50s card. I feel like this PC should literally last me until there's a PlayStation 6 and Xbox Series, whatever. That's what the point of my PC build. My PC should last me a whole entire console generation and still be the better option of that. You know, that's what I want to build. I want to build a PC, not to buy a console next generation. So Hellblade comes out May 21st. It's $50, 30 FPS on Xbox. They did confirm you. Obviously you can play whatever frame rate you want on PC if your PC can do it. It is being touted as the best looking game to date. I'm interested. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to download it on my Xbox, and I will download it on my PC. And then wherever I deem it plays best consistently at, that's where I will complete my entire playthrough on for sure. But either way, I'm looking forward to the game. Xbox decided to market the Xbox Series X along with Halo. For some reason, they haven't been doing it for the last couple years, but they decided to do it this week with a tweet, and people were happy to see it. Felt good. Feel like they actually wanted to sell you a console. Looked like they got a lot to say. There's stuff starting to leak. Jeff Grubb, kind of funny guys, they said Gear 6, we're going to be seeing it. Are you hearing anything about Gear 6, Addict?
No. Not at all. But to be honest with you, I haven't really been, like, paying attention either. I think I've just gotten to the point with some of these, I'm just like, if it happens, it happens. Yeah, you know. I don't know if I'm going to be in L.A. with the June showcase yet.
June 9th, they're saying that's what it'll be. That came from a leaked Sarah Bond email, right?
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, currently right now, I think Cog and King are going. But if something happens where King Cat doesn't go, then I'll probably end up going in his place.
Yeah. We need Gear 6. It's been 5 funky years since Gears 5. One of my favorite Gears games. Still, Gears 5 is underrated. I say underrated because they decided to give that an 84, the same score as Gears 4, which Gears 4 is completely superior to Gears 4. Gears 5 is completely superior to Gears 4. But we need it because we know they're going to amp up the visuals. And the thing is that Hellblade so far is going to be the best-looking showpiece for Unreal Engine 5 up until Gear 6. And we're interested in Gear 6 because Coalition is the best utilizers of Unreal Engine other than Epic themselves. They've always gotten the most out of Unreal Engine, and they've been the first to toy around with it. They made multiple tech demos. You know you're going to get the highest fidelity graphics you're going to get the full feature set and you're going to get it at a high frame rate. And that's what I'm curious to see. I do believe that because the Unreal Engine is so taxing and so demanding that this is going to be a scenario where Gears is going to require a performance and a quality mode. I don't believe they will launch Gears at 30 FPS alone. They will make it 60 FPS. Multiplayer will be 60 FPS by default, but I feel like they're going to have to go back to the toggle because they're going to want to extract as much UE5 feature set as much as possible. They're going to optimize it well. But there's going to be compromises and they're going to have to turn some settings off to get, you know, 60 FPS. And I think we're going to see a good looking game, a next generation game. They said it's going to be a Xbox Series XS game. So that's probably like in the next 2 years that when it releases, if we're going to see it this year, that means it's probably due to release next year, which is, more than enough time. Cause it's been a while. For Gears, but I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's crazy thing when you consider what Xbox has, and it sucks that how Xbox haven't leveraged its position in gaming as a platform holder and could have waited before they started to support PlayStation and Nintendo. Their summer showcase has the potential to be the best summer showcase. Their headliners are Gears of War and Call of Duty. Like, that's like, and they're their titles. That's like, these are Call of Duty's ours, Gears, or of course Call of Duty, you know, multiply, but your headliners are Call of Duty and Gears of War. Gears of War is going to be a game that's coming next year. Call of Duty's coming that year, the big holiday game. And all they got is Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, Avowed, and what's the other game that they got? You know, South of Midnight and Towerborn are dressing around, because by the time the showcase take place, Hellblade 2 would already have been released and doing its numbers and getting its great reviews and being played and enjoyed. But I feel like they have a potential to have the greatest showcase in a while. And you consider games that we're due to see again. You say Perfect Dark. You say State of Decay 3. Whatever Rare is working on after they stop sucking PlayStation's balls, but they're in position to show things off again. It's just that their timing just sucks ass. Like, they literally could have flirted with being like a prime first party, you know, masterclass for a couple years, like this year and next year, before they and in 2026, whatever you do when you guys were rumored to kill the Xbox, whatever, then do all that pleasure stuff. We wouldn't have cared. Like, you know, at least we could cherish 2024 and 2025. You don't do this when you have all those bullets in the chamber that you can let loose and let your console flourish and sell, right? They're stupid. But your thoughts, Summer Showcase.
Summer Showcase. Yes. I don't know what the hell. And then apparently, like, I heard, I don't know if you said, it's rumored that Call of Duty is going to get shown on Xbox stage and it's going to get debuted here.
Yeah.
What? It's like, so the first thing you do when you finally get Call of Duty and you can show it at your stage is give the debut to someone else?
Wait. What did you say? Where's it going to get debuted at? I'm sorry.
Supposedly, it's going to be debuted on the Summer Game Fest.
Okay.
And I guess it will say, tune into the Xbox Showcase. Or well, that's like fair. For like that's gameplay.
Fair. Yeah.
That sounds cool and all, but it's like the very first time Xbox is going to be combined, like going to officially show off one of the first game, they show it off on someone else's stage first. And I get it, that's probably gonna be better for their showcase in general. Yeah. But let's be real here, Smooth. The people that's gonna watch that showcase, that's watching the video, the other one, they were gonna watch the Xbox showcase anyway.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You know what's crazy? For Xbox to be the most hated platform, everybody's going to tune into your showcase because it's for their benefit. Everybody wants to know what game they could be potentially playing on their platform, right?
Or potentially talking shit about.
Or talking shit about. But the thing is that my thing is that can you, as a PlayStation fanboy, can you really talk shit if the game is potentially coming to your platform at some point, you know? That's pretty much...
So you're saying that they're gonna really choose wisely what they talk shit about?
Yeah, absolutely. Because we know they're about to enjoy some Sea of Thieves. We know they're about to enjoy this year. Sea of Thieves success is probably gonna be the one game we need to flop on PlayStation as an Xbox fan is Sea of Thieves, and because Hi-Fi Rush flopped on PlayStation. Pentiment flopped on PlayStation. Grounded's going to flop on PlayStation.
Pentiment and flopped on PlayStation and Switch.
So Sea of Thieves, we need to flop. It won't because
it's the last one. Do you think Grounded will do good?
I don't think Grounded would do good. I think, is Grounded coming to the Switch?
I don't know.
The thing is that Xbox don't understand is that games like Grounded and Sea of Thieves, not Hi-Fi Rush and Pentiment, whatever, but Grounded and Sea of Thieves made Xbox unique because these are games that don't often release and there's not a bunch of games like them on the market. And Xbox was, with those releases, are fulfilling a genre or a niche that isn't like tapped yet. So there's a lot of multiplayer experiences, shared world experience on Xbox that aren't your MOBAs, that aren't your Overwatches, that aren't your Fortnite, but they have their own like thing. And to just give it away like that, you know what I mean? Sea of Thieves is going to be cool, but like I'm curious to see what those final numbers look like because that thing was outselling Rise of the Ronin and Stellar Blade for a while now, so we will see. You know, I'm looking forward to try to get back into Sea of Thieves. I really want to get into the game, and I tried playing it. It's just that these games have like these learning curves that I just can't like muster in. Like I don't like there's two games I struggle with: games like that and games like Grounded, where you have and State of Decay, where you have to manage and craft. And I just want to play like a set story and get from A to B and complete the objectives. I don't want to recruit people. I don't want to feed people. I don't want to build anything. I kind of just want to play what's already built for me. And that's why I struggle with those games.
I don't think at that point. I don't think. State of Decay is your game then.
No, but I'm glad that it's 4K 60. It looks good. I like booting it up every once in a while, but I got to play with somebody that got some common sense because I don't when it comes to those games. What else we got? So we got the Xbox Game Showcase taking place June 9th, Sunday. The headliners are going to be Gears of War and Call of Duty. That's what's being said. There was a big email or memo Sarah Bond did that leaked. Jez Corden wrote an article about, and Sarah Bond built a team that's built on game preservation and backwards compatibility. So they're going to be looking to improve their backwards compatibility and making sure that games are, you know, future proof for the next generation and beyond. So that's good to hear. Are we going to hear from Xbox prior to this? I want some Activision news. I want some ABK deals. I want to see the first pile of games dumping into Game Pass because I feel as an Xbox fan, I have not reaped the benefits of this ABK merger at all.
Well, I think they're going to wait for that event
in June. So we gotta wait for the. All right, well, yep. It's going to be a long way. I understand Hellblade is going to hold us over until that, you know, that showcase is going to be that game that, like, okay, we're playing. It's something tangible we could play. But I feel like, you know, Xbox has a lot of things, and I just wish they could keep up on their promises. I still think about 2022's, the games available in the next 12 months, worst thing that ever happened. You know, there's a truckload of those games that still hasn't released.
What?
The next 12 months thing, remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What's going on with Towerborn? Are they going to be, they're going to be backloaded with a bunch of fall games? And I think that's like so annoying, man. I feel like you should have been able to get a game like Towerborn out before summer. There's been a lot of news with skipping the platform, rumors of game publishers not wanting to release. Phil Spencer talking about PC game stores on Xbox, like the Epic Game Store and Steam. Like, I still don't know how a situation like that would work. I wouldn't mind it because I think that would be a gateway to get some of those PlayStation games on Xbox. Because technically, and people say PlayStation would go out and block it. Can they really block it? Because if I buy your game, made your game available on Steam or Epic, and I purchased that game, I should be able to play that game, that license, wherever device I have is playable on.
You know what's funny? If they did do that and they made it to where you powered up an Xbox and it went to a UI and it's like, do you want to load up Steam? Do you want to load up Xbox? Do you want to load up Epic Game Store? Mm-hmm. And let's say PlayStation ever went day and date on Steam, then they would, unless they find a way, because to me, there's probably ways that you can do it. But if it's a launcher, how would you, I can understand stopping people from going to the Xbox, the Xbox internet launcher and preventing it to going to them. But it's just like, how you go to Steam and say, I want you to do more work. And if people launch into your launcher on Xbox, block my game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because they can't think about it. You buy sure a Steam a Deck, right? You buy a Steam Deck. It's just Steam. You download your game. I buy a Rogue Ally. I mean, I downloaded Spider-Man. I play Spider-Man on a Rogue Ally for Steam. My thing is, if Steam and Epic Game Store were to be available on Xbox, this is the only questions I have about these things, because you can't really curate it, right? My thing is, wouldn't just Steam read Xbox as some sort of PC anyway? Since it runs on Windows,
I don't know.
Wouldn't it just treat it like a computer?
I don't know anything specific on how that would go. I would say that there is a way, because I mean, you plug in your phone to your PC, it tells you what you got, your phone hooked up to your PC. Mm-hmm. So I find it hard to believe that they couldn't have some kind of system in place to tell where Steam is being loaded from.
Yeah, but my thing is, what would it make it a difference? Because it, all in all, PCs, Xbox is just a form of a computer. And my thing is, if you're going to have a PC storefront on an Xbox, because developers can't make an Xbox version of a Steam game that's playable on Xbox. They're not going to do that. It's just going to be whatever the game is, and then run at your own risk. That pretty much what it should be. Isn't that what we're doing on the Rogue Ally and the Steam Deck? We're running these games at our own risk.
Yeah, and I know this would never happen. I'm curious your opinion.
Yeah.
Why is it they buy Steam and they just combine the companies, Xbox and Steam, and when you they make the Steam pretty much Xbox and Xbox Steam.
That was a acquisition they probably should have sought out a long ago when it was plausible, because then they would have gotten that would be a monopoly on the store. But I feel like Steam OS, and just replace their OS with Steam. Yeah, it's perfect. They could do that. I don't know what PlayStation would do. They'll probably fight a bigger fight. But then again, why?
But then it's rumored that PlayStation's making their own store too. So.
Yeah, their store. Yeah, which they should do. They should make their own.
If they make their own store, and Steam gave them a lot of issues on that, then they can just pull their games off Steam. So
yeah, but at that point, that's going to be the only thing. Is if I'm PlayStation, I wouldn't pull my games off your store. They can technically. I mean, whatever you have, you own, right? You own whatever you have. You still boot them. But I would just not. It would just instead of launching my games on Steam, I'd just launch them on PlayStation and whatnot. Yeah, I think that's the best thing that can happen for PlayStation is to launch their own launcher that's trophy compatible. Is literally be having a PlayStation on your PC, and I have confidence they'll do it right. It'll be very approachable. It will ultimately kill the need for the PlayStation 5 console. Ultimately, you wouldn't at that point. You have a PlayStation launcher. I'm surprised nobody intended to sell PC the gamer from the jump, but. I can imagine like a launcher. I think it's where Xbox needs to get better. Like the Xbox app literally should be an Xbox. Like it shouldn't be like, it should just be in like, it's like, it should opening the Xbox app like should be emulator. Like playing an Xbox on your PC, just at PC, having the feet.
Do you think they should be an emulator PC on gaming. PC?
Yeah, they got to do something so that we're running, so we feel like we're playing on an Xbox on it. That's literally what I don't, why I'm not married but to think, the but, Xbox on PC.
Then I would push back and say that don't force the UI. Just like when you load up, do you want to load desktop mode or Xbox mode? Because I feel like you still got to give the PC people, the people you're trying to appeal to, you got to give them the option of both.
Yeah. That's fair. I'm curious to see how. That's the biggest thing I'm worried about. Like, I'm not mad at it, but people were freaking out. Like, oh my god, nobody's gonna buy Xbox game. But I think I would literally use Steam and Xbox for games that they failed to release on Xbox and primarily PlayStation games. Because I'm curious to see how they would utilize it, how it would read the game. Does it read it like, okay, so this is a PC, this is the recommended settings, and boom, there you have it. Right, like. I guess you would treat it like a rogue in a Steam Deck. I don't know if that's a play they're going to make for the current consoles or if their next console is just going to be a like super expensive, like consolidated console PC that they're going to do in a combo. You know, I want them to continue to make Xboxes and stuff. But they gotta, I'm curious to see what they're doing. I know Jez said some things that he has a little bit of a better understanding of where they're going, but I'm curious to see how it all comes together for them, because I feel like they're doing themselves a disservice to make some extra dollars, but I feel like you got an opportunity to like, you know, to really, you know, contend. You're in a position to contend. This year is light. You got the best games coming. You're going to have the best looking game this year. You're probably going to have the best rated games this year. And it doesn't feel like it. I feel like Xbox is fighting a losing battle, even though they have bangers this year. They're literally going to launch. They're literally about to launch probably multiple gaudy contenders. And they're going to launch the best selling game this year for sure. So, and Game Pass should grow if that best-selling game is going to be day one this year. Game Pass will probably hit a significant number this year if they market right. They have to advertise. They have Hellblade 2 is going to kick them off. They're actually in the same position as last year. Like last year, they didn't start kicking off until freaking Redfall. Redfall came out in May. It didn't hit well, but Hellblade is going to hit. I'm sure Hellblade is going to score higher than Redfall. By a significant margin. And then they got to hurry up and get dates out. Like, after Hellblade, it should not be like a 3 month gap between the next game. There's got to be, I think, Avowed or Indiana Jones, The Great Circle. One of those have to come out within like 45 days of Hellblade. One of them. And I know we got Stalker in September. Call of Duty, we know, is in November. But I feel like Avowed got to be like, if you're launching a game in May, there's got to be something got to be coming out. Flight Sim is going to be August. I don't feel like, because they use the showcase as a hit piece itself. So it's like, this is because we had a showcase, we don't have to release a game. It's like January, right? They had the Xbox Developer Direct. So that excused them for releasing games for 3 months. Right. And now, you know, we're in the second quarter of the year. Hellblade is going to carry the second quarter, and that's going to be it. And then the third quarter, I feel like Indiana Jones or Avowed can't be too far behind, especially if you already got Call of Duty that's going to carry the holiday. Like, you got Call of Duty. Stalker is in September, early September, which is going to be, that's still technically summer. That is a third, your third party release, but Avowed or Indiana Jones, and we know Indiana Jones is probably later in the year, but Avowed has to be like there shortly after, and they have to find a way to properly spread games. Towerborn could probably be a summer game, and hopefully they utilize and market and whatnot. They have a lot of games this year. I just don't want them to dump it all in October and November. I think that's trash to do. Let's see. What else did we get? So we got Hellblade. We got the white Xbox Series X. Is that real? Is that coming?
Yeah, I think that's real.
Give us that. Yeah. They're not going to give us the Brooklyn.
I don't know. Remember, Phil did say that some of these things have been changed. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's one of the things that was changed, but just changed differently.
I would have bought the Brooklyn. I like the silicone look with that two-tone controller that was supposed to have haptics. I literally would have bought it with no problem. You know, it sounds stupid. I know it's not a PS5 Pro, but I could have used, you know, the extra terabyte. You know, you get the 2 terabyte hard drive along with my terabyte plug and play thingy, the SD drive and whatnot. You know what I'm curious? If they make it handheld, right, would it be compatible with that terabyte drive? Will there be a port where you just plug it in there? Like, flush. You think?
I don't know. I'm personally to the point where I would never get that anyway. So it's just, you know, I feel like the time for a digital SKU is over. That should have been like last year.
For what?
For a digital SKU of the Series X. Like,
I'm talking about for a handheld. Like,
oh, I thought we were talking about the Series X.
If they make it handheld, do you think they'll have that, you know, that SSD slot for that plug right in?
I don't know. That would make sense because you're wanting to keep the, you know, the SKUs to identical to some degree, but we don't even know if they're going to keep that, SSD thing going forward.
I actually would hope they would, because that was a big cost. That was very expensive, and at that point,
it's useless. It's useless if they get rid of it.
It'll be completely useless. Yeah, yeah. You kind of, I would want that, or make it compatible, right? Like, if you want to go with the traditional SSD slot, cool, you can do that, but still make that an option so that people could have two forms of SSD storage and additional storage for the console. But yeah, I would hope they continue on with it to breathe life, and so that hardware companies can continue to produce them for sure. All right, Attic, we have just enclosed on just over an hour for the show. We can start wrapping this up, man. Is there anything you want to say to chat? Anything we should be looking forward to?
Not really. You know, I am starting to stream again and stuff more. I'm feeling a lot better in general.
Awesome.
So that's just pretty much about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I have a video coming out soon. Check it out. I give my thoughts on Hellblade. I did a video about Stellar Blade. People weren't feeling that. Got a 25% like ratio. so you know, they didn't care for my opinion over there. But I got a video on Hellblade to give you my thoughts on this 30 FPS drama. I hopefully can put out another skit or another video. Play Xbox available on patreon.com/weaponwheel. Also on Weaponwheel channel, we've been able to try to consistently get these podcasts out. We got a couple episodes that we're going to be doing that's like kind of off key. We'll probably be back to record another one probably in a few days. because we owe you guys a couple episodes, because we've been away for about a couple weeks, so we gotta definitely make up for that.
Well, we did the in-person one.
Yeah, that was.
So I think we're
2 weeks ago.
We're two behind.
Yeah, two behind. All right, guys. Thank you guys for watching. We will see you guys on the next episode. As always, Xbox is the best box. I am the best bot. Good night or good morning if you're on the other side of the globe. We are out of here. Peace.